Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Kyle Bridges, how do you do?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We got a technical foul.
Yeah. Austin Reeves.
They got thrown out of the game.
Was there an explanation as to why Austin picked up that second technical?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Didn't get a good explanation on that one.
Today's guests, actor Taron Killam, Pro Football Focus lead NFL draft analyst Trevor Sikkema, actor Eric Winter, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the Roku Sports Channel. We're live on the Infinity Sports Network, 120 affiliates, coast to coast, smart enough to have us. And that's the truth. They are smart to have us. Sirius XM Channel 375, our Odyssey app. There's our podcast, All 3 Hours. I will stop talking this way. We've got 3 hours to hang out on this Thursday program. Just had a very nice chat with Taron Killam in our green room, fresh back from the SNL 50th. Cannot wait to ask him a million questions all of that.
Yeah.
He's also wearing his Rams gear, so we'll find out whose house it is.
Rams house.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo's. I doubt that.
Jackson Dart's house.
Oh, my gosh. I highly doubt all that. We've got Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus joining us. He's got a mock draft, and I'm holding it in my hands. And for the radio audience who might not see it, this is not a real draft. This is mock, okay? He's just making it up. The real draft is coming up at the end of April. So we've got some time, but we love talking about it, so we will. Eric Winter of ABC's The Rookie will be in studio in hour number 3. Very handsome man. A lot of people follow him on social media. He's a talented guy, and he's a diehard Los Angeles sports fan, which means he will come in red hot, pissed off that Austin Reeves got ejected last night. That's how we start the NBA second half of the season. Austin Reeves fans denied by the officials last night. And the Charlotte Hornets come back from double digits down to beat the Lakers.
Oh, that's a shame.
And so there's that to talk about as well. The polar bear just took a baseball off his face.
Yeah, scary.
And the Yankees have extended Aaron Boone. And we'll talk about all that on this program. And keep an eye on the news wires, if you will. I've got a top 5 of the most fascinating storylines for the second half, if you will, quote unquote, of the NBA season. That's still to come. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on all of these fronts. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich.
The table is set.
Rich. Don't forget Four Nations tonight.
Oh, that's right.
USA Canada. Let's go.
That's right. Can't wait for that, as I mentioned. The NHL has cracked the code. They figured out what to do with their all-star break. The finals tonight in Boston, Massachusetts, TD Garden. That'll be a fun watch. Good to see you over there,
hey.
Jay Felly. How are you?
How you going to do that hockey?
We're going to do that hockey later on tonight. And tomorrow, Al Michaels in studio for the entire third hour.
Love it.
Because Saturday is the 45th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And Al's coming in. He is fired up to talk about Four Nations. I mean, hockey at its finest is what he texted me with multiple exclamation points.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's going to be awesome.
I mean, longtime King season ticket holder.
And we've got some surprises in store for Al when he comes in to stroll down Lake Placid Memory Lane tomorrow. Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
What's up, fellas?
Candles lit?
Candles lit. Any chance we get Al to just take a small bite of broccoli tomorrow?
That is never going to happen. Like, as a matter of fact, don't say it anymore because he might not come now, just for fear that we might actually be demanding such a thing. No, the only green that will be around will be of the putting surface in front of you and whatever's in his wallet. That'll be on
a lot of that
on Friday's program. But let's get to today's. 1 week from today, I will be at the scouting combine. We will be watching players work out. The combine begins 1 week from today, and my ear will be to the ground on all the rumors, the hot rumors, all of the things going on. And the number one story, I think, going into that combine and coming out of it will be, what about this free agent class for quarterbacks and who will be in it? You know, we don't know who's going to be in it. Is Aaron Rodgers going to stick around to be in the free agent pool? Is there something up with Matthew Stafford and the Rams? The answer is yes. He's not going to play for $22 million next year. The question is, what is the number that the Rams are willing to have him play for? And does it include any guaranteed dollars beyond this year, which would then predicate the Rams and Stafford finishing out Stafford's career together? Potentially. And how many guaranteed years will that be? And if he doesn't hear those numbers, does he dare force the situation prior to the new league year opening up? Because that's the only way Matthew Stafford is of significance in the free agency period, is if he pulls a Myles Garrett. Because he and the Rams don't see eye to eye already quickly enough. And the Rams may decide to move on from him earlier than expected, which is an MO of their front office with players. Maybe even Cooper Kupp is that example this time around. But for me, the linchpin is Sam Darnold. And my ear will be to the ground on Sam Darnold when I get to the combine, because, as you know, I always report back what I hear of rumors.
Oh, it's the best.
I turn into an annual mongerer on that front.
Fantastic.
And I'm always accurate when it comes to Vikings quarterbacks, as last year, number four in my list of rumors is that plan B for the Vikings at quarterback, if Kirk Cousins doesn't return, it's Trey Lance. So I'm very accurate. Just so everyone understands, my number one rumor involved that the Giants were done with Daniel Jones, and number two is that the Cowboys' sense of all in was to do nothing to their roster. And guess what? I was right about those.
Mm.
Who wants Sam Darnold? Who's going to pay him? What does he want in terms of market value? Does he lower the bar, which is 60 mil? Does anybody give him Dak's number? Does anybody approach Dak's number? Does anyone approach Tua's number? Does anyone approach Jared Goff's or Trevor Lawrence's number with this guy? What does he want? What is he going to force? What will the market tell him he's worth? And who's the one to set that market? These are the major questions. Are the Vikings involved? Do they dare even franchise tag him over the next few weeks? What does that read into their situation with J.J. McCarthy? As you know, J.J. came on the Tuesday of Super Bowl week and said he has been told essentially nothing, other than the fact that they love him and that he is part of their future. Is it now? Is he ready to have it now? He says he's ahead of schedule. What does Sam Darnold do is the most important question. And how does that fit into the draft? Because again, the teams that looking for quarterbacks right now, you look at the top 10 of the NFL draft order, and you see the Titans sitting at number one. Are they in the market? Would Sam Darnold be the guy there? Could he be the guy there? Could they basically say, we're going to sign Sam Darnold? Sorry, Will Levis, we're kind of done here. Or Sam is willing to come here for 3 years, and we'll see if Will Levis can marinate. And Sam Darnold thrives in the Brian Callahan offense, and they go ahead and draft Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or sell the draft choice. Do the Cleveland Browns say, Sam, you're the guy here. You come here. You know, you were the second quarterback taken in the draft. We were the ones who made you the second quarterback taken in the draft because we took Baker Mayfield first, and we should have held on to him. And look where we are now. How about you come in here, Sam? And then they go ahead and draft someone else. Unless the Titans and the Browns fall in love with Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders over the next few weeks. And then they'll just draft one of those. And the Giants are sitting there at three. Do the Giants just say, you know what? Cam Ward ain't it. Shedeur Sanders ain't it. Or we're not feeling it about wanting to trade up for him. So how would you like to come back to MetLife and be a Giant, Sam Darnold? You see where I'm going with all of this? Then the Raiders are sitting there at six. What does Tom Brady think? What does Chip Kelly think? What does Pete Carroll think? Obviously not in that order. I'm just taking the Jets off the board. I just imagine that any number from the Jets front office has been blocked in Sam Darnold's phone for 5 years. You know what I mean? He's got that half moon do not disturb button hit.
Everything all
Park, notifications so yeah. from Florham Park, New Jersey are flushed into the nether world. I'll just say that. So Sam Darnold's the linchpin of all this, guys. I think. Is there anybody? That's just the top 10. Is there any other team that you could think of that might be interested in Sam Darnold, and it would surprise you? I don't see another one. I don't see Seattle swapping out Geno for Sam. Is it Pittsburgh? Could Pittsburgh go Sam Darnold? Could the Rams go Sam Darnold?
That's the one for me. That's the most interesting, and I don't know why it wouldn't work. You got the actual guy, Sean McVay, you know, Kevin O'Connell, McVay disciple. You still got a lot of great players here, young up and coming team. You swap out a 37-year-old quarterback for a 27-year-old quarterback, and I know I've been critical of Sam Darnold in the past.
The way
he finished this past season, but I think the blueprint is there for what makes him a successful quarterback. Who better than Sean McVay?
Well, I mean, it's their defense that also helped expose Sam Darnold to criticisms like the ones you have delivered
That's true.
And so if there's anybody who knows how potentially unworkable Sam Darnold is, it's the Los Angeles Rams front office and coaching staff. That said, they also know maybe how they could have attacked him and think they can coach him up to get better than that. I just can't imagine the way Stafford is slinging it that the Rams would put themselves into this mosh pit. That if I'm in quarterback hungry mode, I want no part of it. There's no surefire thing here. And I understand that you can't always look for the surefire thing because 2 years ago, the surefire thing for the Jets was to get Aaron Rodgers. And they went from surefired to sure. Everyone's fired. And that's why you go with the guy you know. And Stafford is just absolutely at the top of his game. And I don't know how much he would want to change addresses, and maybe he likes looking at the Pacific Ocean with his wife and his beautiful children, and his beautiful children love looking at the Pacific Ocean too and living out here. I don't know what the internal personal is, I just would think that making it work over the next 2 to 3 years and, you know, grabbing hands and hoping that when they floor the car, there's no cliff in front of them and there's nothing but roadway to another title together, which would put, I would think, everybody involved in the process in a Canton conversation 1 year. And so every team that I just mentioned about what would be great for Darnold, would Stafford want to jump into any of those? I don't know. This is where it would be great to stay where you are. Like with Stafford, would Pittsburgh be a better spot for him to go ahead and win a title? Would
of the Giants?
Yeah. I mean, the Giants and the Browns and the Jets and the Raiders are all far behind, potentially light years behind what the Rams are building right now.
Well, you can make the case the team that played Eagles the best in the playoffs was
the
Rams.
You couldn't. Yeah. You don't have to make a case. They were. Period. In the snow. Coming back after Saquon ran all over him again.
Yeah. I mean, ball was in the air to potentially tie that game.
I mean, so the Rams are a perfect spot. Like, if I'm Sam Darnold and you know the Vikings are moving on, I would tell my agents, can you get me to Los Angeles? That's where I would be. And then, you know, after the Sam domino falls, and then what about Rodgers and Russ and Cousins? Because I don't think the Falcons are going to have a $40 million a year backup. They can avoid it. And the $40 million quarterback doesn't want to be a backup. A fascinating free agent class. And my ear will be to the ground, to say the least, 1 week from today when we're at the combine. And that's the royal week, because you guys are going to be here. Susie will be in the chair. You know, that's okay. You won't miss it. Hello. Is this thing on?
What?
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Eric Winter of ABC's The Rookie will be in studio in hour number three. We'll ask Trevor Sikkema what he thinks about all this. He's got some interesting comps for some of the players that are available in this year's draft and that will be starring at the Combine, should they actually work out. We hope they do at NFL Network. But let's take a break. Diehard Rams fan and fresh back from New York City, where he was part of the 50th anniversary celebration of Saturday Night Live. Taryn Killam is here. Whose house? Taryn's house on The Rich Eisen Show when we come back. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a 5-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, all of us on the Roku channel, radio audience will return, but also back on the program, one of our favorites, Tarrant Killam, back here on the program.
Mr. Eisen, thank you for having me. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I like the sort of old school, new school
Rams thing you're wearing. Thank you. This is like Matthew Stafford during a 2-minute drill. All of my former Rams gear was on fire.
Oh gosh.
So I lost my collection. You gotta have fun. You gotta laugh. No, all good. Thank you. We're okay.
Okay.
I do want to say a special shout out to Dan August of the Rams franchise and Karks, I believe was her name,
right,
who dropped off 2 bags of Rams gear.
That's awesome.
2 days later. They're the best. They're the best.
I love my Rams. That is taking care of fans and season ticket holder and things like that.
It meant a lot,
nature.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, and so, I thought they were going to beat the Eagles at the end of that game.
It was so close.
In the snow, too, right?
And I love Kyren. I love him so much. He's such a good runner. But literally, it's the league of their own. You're missing the cutoff, man.
Right.
It's like, Kyren, you're still dropping the ball against the Eagles. That's something I'd like you to work on next season.
That's right. It happened in the first series in the regular season. And at a very inopportune moment after the Rams held defensively on Philly right at midfield.
Cold Miser was against us.
But even with that, though, Tarrant.
We were one right catch away. I know. And I'll say for all the Stafford hullabaloo and like the breadcrumbs that Kelly Stafford, Matt's real agent, is putting out there. I have been arms crossed about Stafford for a while because I want it on the record that I never fell out of love with Goff.
Right.
I loved Goff and he did so much good for us. But it's just undeniable what Stafford has done for this city. And there's just a different gear he has of pressures on. He always rises to the challenge.
Yeah. Year 16, I've got Tarrant Killam here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, just chit-chatting Rams before we turn to the SNL 50th weekend. I have so many questions for you on that. But Stafford is at the top of his game. There's just no question about it right
now. He's incredible.
He is absolutely incredible.
Yes.
There does not seem to be any sort of defraying. And he, at the end of that game, if they only had the protection up front, I think he would have scored again in the snow. And when you look back at the playoffs and the Super Bowl, the team that came closest to derailing the Eagles were the Rams.
With Saquon running all over us for the second time
and
in a season.
After Saquon ran and busted that one, was slapping his helmet in the snow, running it in.
I know. And Stafford now has busted ribs, which is like it's his Popeye spinach is to have something broken internally. And then he like da 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 da, and suddenly he's just incredible. And I think from what I've witnessed as a super fan, he and McVay's connection feels like it's on a deeper level.
Yes.
And nobody, in my opinion, and I'm very biased, I know, in the NFL has proven that they have better instincts on underrated talent than the Rams franchise, especially McVay and Les Snead. And what they've done with Jared Verse, with Brandon Fisk, Kobe Turner, like, they're just finding young talent. And FSU, as our farm team, right now their top two prospects are offensive linemen, which bodes well for keeping Stafford in LA and keeping him protected. So, yeah, I'm heartbroken. Cooper Kupp. What just also like, you know, MVP, a wide receiver MVP, a triple crown winning MVP wide receiver. And that shouldn't be overlooked or forgotten. But DeMarcus Robinson was just playing real good this season.
He was. And, you know, that famous game in F, marry, kill. You
sure,
know,
yes.
That's what they can do to all the picks.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they 100%. Can F them and then they can marry them.
Yeah.
And they can kill with them. I mean, like, that's what they're.
Yeah.
That's what Les Snead has been doing and able to hand these guys off to the coaching staff and.
Yeah,
the front. That's why I think Stafford will just look over the landscape, and if they can find that number, obviously it's a big if. It's not going to. He's got to see what's going on in this roster and know that whatever else he might try to force his way into to get the payday he and his family are looking for, if that's what it is.
Well, Rams are also so good at restructuring. I mean, they did it with Donald. They've done it, you know, over and over and over again. Right. So that's what I'm hopeful for. However, devil's advocate, you want to see if they can find their Puka at the QB position, right? Like, don't you a little bit? Don't you like nobody was saying Puka pre-draft, and now everybody's saying Puka, you know. So if they can find that young talent at QB, that's exciting too, but it doesn't have to be this season. Right. That's the other thing.
Or I think it could be you could draft that guy now
and train exactly
and have Stafford finish his career.
That's the best of both worlds, without a doubt.
Taron Killam here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh back from Saturday Night Live's 50th anniversary celebration.
Yes.
All right, I'll just give you the floor and
see. Sure.
What was that like,
I almost did a bit where I just was like sunglasses on, hood up, still hungover. Like, but I will say, you know, I'm 42. I don't rebound as quickly as I once did. Nice. So I paced myself wisely, and I'm glad I did, because it was the best weekend. It was joyful. It was amazing. There were, like, everywhere you looked was a hero or, you know, or a peer that you loved. And you know, everybody's talking about the 50th special, which was incredible and amazing. I was very, 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 very lucky to be a small part of it. But the Friday night concert
at
Radio City Music Hall, which was streaming on Peacock, they learned so many good lessons from the 40th anniversary, I feel. And by they, I mean, like, you know, the brass at SNL and NBC. That concert was insane. Lauryn Hill and Wyclef came out like as a surprise guest. The surviving members of Nirvana, led by Post Malone, performs Smells Like Teen Spirit. Cher in the bodysuit in front of a digital battleship sang Turn Back Time. It was like it didn't stop. It kept building. It was amazing. And it felt like, more so than the 40th, the 40th was like a celebration of success and stature. And this one, to me, at least in my experience, was a celebration of the show itself. Like every cast member was there. Every writer was there, seeing all the crew. You know, I think this was a last hurrah for a lot of people behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, an example is Betsy Torres, who's been the standards and practices representative for SNL for so many years. This was her final show.
Was it really?
It was her last chance to say, you can't say douche rag on the air. You know? Imagine that job. Imagine that job. Exactly. Exactly.
Sitting on a beach.
She's going to be such a bummer at the breakfast table. You can't save cereal. Why? I don't know. I miss my job. It was insane. I mean, I like best, you know, I have so many pictures, and like, I posted a lot. I posted a full story.
Yes.
And it's quite honestly not even a third of the amazing moments I captured. Cool. Like, you know, the one that first comes to mind is, you know, Paul Simon started the show. Paul McCartney basically was the last musical performance. And to see those two Pauls talking to each other on the Good Night stage, just absolutely legendary. It was just full of legends, and it was full of SNL legends. Like, the 40th, you had like your George Lucas's, which I was very excited about, and your Baz Luhrmann's. But this one was, I felt a shift towards, let's recognize the people who made the show what it is, you know?
And from my perspective, sitting at home watching it with my kids, 16, 14, and 11.
Yeah.
When Paul Simon and Sabrina Carpenter came out, you know, my wife and I were like, Paul Simon. And my kids were like, that's Sabrina Carpenter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then to have the two of them have the conversation that they had, you know, that Sabrina Carpenter's like, you know, I wasn't alive. Neither were my parents.
Right.
After Paul Simon's like, well, here's a song that I sang with George Harrison on the first SNL. And then Paul Simon looks at her and says, well, you know, hopefully your parents will enjoy hearing this for the first time.
Incredible, right?
But that is the perfect mix of what this show has become over 50 years. And I'm a 55-year-old guy, and I don't remember life without SNL.
But, okay.
I appreciate you saying that. And then here are my kids who are watching this sort of clip style, you know, in the 21st century.
Understood, yes.
That's how they're, because they're not, you know, staying up to, to watch it. But it is still just as important to them.
Yeah, I found even with my own kids that the clips lead to curiosity, which leads to, this would be fun to watch live. What a novel thing to stay up till 1 in the morning watching, you know, the live taping. But it is the brilliance of Lorne, like of the many brilliant things he's accomplished. But he is just so savvy and discerning of keeping it relevant. Right. So, the relevancy. And I just it's part of his genius. And I got to see him Friday night at the concert and shake his hand and thank him for letting me be a part of it. Yeah, there is nothing like it. There's nothing like it in the way it's produced. But now that it's achieved this milestone of 50 years of relevancy, there's nothing like SNL.
So Taryn Killam here on the Rich Eisen Show. What was it like backstage as you're getting ready to do your...
So fun. Well, as you know, I did get to play Pizza Rat in the New York musical. So
there
we go. We got it right there. Yeah. You know, I'm putting on an oversized rat costume and talking with Anna Gasteyer and seeing Keenan, who I love so much, and talking to Tom Broker, the head of the wardrobe department, now producer on SNL. And it just was like repeated reunions filled with love and gratitude and nostalgia. And it was just amazing. And maybe as a fan, my favorite thing was at the 40th.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy was a little Tim, he was a little like, they're like, we could do Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. We could do Buckwheat. We could do. And he was a little timid. And he's now hosted maybe twice since the 40th. Mm-hmm. And I think he's like, oh, no, wait, this is fun. So to see him in Scared Straight, to see him in Black Jeopardy, to watch him live was like a thrill as an SNL fan and alumni. It was awesome. It was just that. You could just feel everybody go, let's jump back into the joy of what the show is, the best it can be. And I think that was demonstrated in the special.
Yeah, the idea of having Eddie Murphy play Tracy Morgan was
so
next
good.
Level. You know, it was next level. Was there a conversation with you and them about who you would play? Like, how did they land on Pizza
no,
Rat?
I was
like,
really lucky. I think that's Mulaney's doing, who's just, you know, one of the best. I literally landed Thursday night to a text of like, are you willing to be a rat for one line of the musical? I was like, of course, because I showed up very much ready to just be an attendee and sort of witness it. And it was wonderful. And probably my personal favorite experience was Saturday day is when they're doing the blocking for each sketch. And this was a beast of a show to produce.
Three
I mean,
hours,
just well, and more than that is like how much talent was in each sketch, how many egos, how many individuals you're trying to serve within a single block sketch. So they were so efficient. And in the downtime, it was me, Beck Bennett, Kyle Mooney, Alex Moffitt, and James Austin Johnson. Sorry, I'm getting a call from, oh, it's Lorne. He heard my compliment. I thank you for saying such nice things about me. I love you, Boopsie. Lorne. That's so weird. But it was just like generations hanging out, swapping war stories and getting to know each other and getting to show appreciation. Like that was insane. And then in terms of like celebrity sightings for me,
yes,
in my second or third season, I, in sort of a fever dream, recreated Robin's Call Your Girlfriend video in my 100-square-foot office.
Yes.
And that's gotten some good love online. And Robin performed at the Friday night concert and then was there for the show. And I got a photo with her at the Plaza after party, which I will say, compared to the 40th was madness. The 40th was like Haim and Taylor Swift started the concert and then Prince finished it, which was insane. And this year there was still cool. Like Eddie Vedder, Busta Rhymes was there.
This is at the post party.
This is the Plaza party post show. It was still cool, but a lot of the focus was on, hey, we got to be a part of this. Yeah. How incredible. And I've either been a fan of yours, or I loved working with you, or I've enjoyed watching you since I left the show. Mm-hmm. And it was just a really good vibe. It was really, really fun.
What time did you leave the party?
I am proud to say, at 42 years old,
yes, sir,
was still on my feet at 5:02 a.m. when they turned the lights on.
Wow. Look at you.
How's about that?
They turn this isn't like the usual like start time for a post SNL broadcast. Would start, that party would start at like 2 a.m. right?
Yeah, exactly.
Usually, right?
And correct.
So, because the show ends at 1 a.m. Eastern normally.
Yes,
this
yes.
one started even earlier.
Yeah, there's more time to fill before you get to 5 a.m.
5 a.m.
Not bad. Damn, it's me. I got a photo with me, Mike Myers, Tim Meadows, Vanessa Bayer, and Eddie Vedder. Hanging out, close, shutting down the Plaza. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. I'll pick those up on my way out. I'll pick those names I dropped on my way out.
But you should. So yeah. that photo exact. Can we?
Yeah,
get
yeah,
the,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
You
I'll send it to
now,
you.
But send it to me.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, I will.
We'll put it in post. As
yeah,
they say.
Exactly.
So wow, 5:02 a.m. Lights come on.
Get out of the Plaza. Michael Che's there. I'm walking out with Tim Robinson and Zach Cannon, and Che's like, "Get in my car," and he takes us to the after. After at like at 5:15.
Okay. Where's the after?
A place formerly called Johnny Utah's, which was like the Saddle Ranch of New York.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right by Radio City. Up
it's
the street.
Just south of Radio City. Now it is like a forest floral themed thing. And that's when the 42 kicked in. You have to go down a long flight of stairs and use the handrail. And I made it. And they put a tree behind the bar. That doesn't make any sense. So I turned right back around and I walked Sixth Ave, just soaking in the city.
Sun,
you know,
coming up. Did the sun
not quite yet? Nope. We're still in winter hours.
When was the last time you've seen the sunrise overnight? Like maybe an SNL party? I imagine it had to have been the show, right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Or the 40th or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I know.
Normally, you don't want to be the last one at a party when the lights go on.
Correct.
But when you see Eddie Vedder there, you got to be like,
yes.
Okay, I'm
yeah.
good.
And he's like, hey man, here's some guitar picks. And it's
are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I never joke about guitar picks. You know this about me. If there's one thing that's sacred to me, it's Eddie Vedder guitar picks.
Oh,
yeah, man.
My
It was madness. And just seeing, you know, people recognize each other and see each other, you know, and like Kevin Nealon and Chevy Chase hugging it out and Sherry O'Terry with Cecily Strong. Like it was more so than the 40th, which like I was more involved in the 40th, like production wise, so I could really kind of stand back and soak it in. And it just was like a weekend of appreciation of all things SNL.
It is so great. And to see Jack Nicholson there too.
Yeah, how about that?
That was stunning.
He introduced Adam Sandler.
Right. That song, right?
Yeah,
that
which
song.
Was great. But Sandler doing his thing like that and having Jack Nicholson,
yes.
by the way, in a Yankee Kangol. Which I greatly appreciated. I was very excited to see that. But, you know.
Honestly, I saw this,
cool.
and this is just for you. Jack Nicholson was wearing Wolverine's underwear.
What?
Sorry, I do joke about that.
Don't you dare.
I forgot that that's your guitar pick.
Don't you dare. Like, wait a minute. Like, everything I like. Me and Jack are alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He said, go blue.
No, it was amazing. And Sandberg, I mean, I got to shout out Sandberg, the Lonely Island guys. And if you're not listening to their podcast, it is a true joy.
Yeah.
But Sandberg on the Friday night concert at Radio City did a medley of all his hits. Vedder came out and did the Michael Bolton Captain Jack Sparrow role.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was incredible. Lady Gaga did Timberlake's D and a B, because I don't know what I can say here,
you.
Even though I think I already said douche rag once.
You did.
I like that you abbreviated box, though. That's
yeah,
nice.
I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody. Great. I don't want to offend. You know what I mean? It's early morning.
Fine. Johnson in a container.
Once it becomes, once 10 a.m. happens, I'll be throwing box out left
look
and right.
Out, man.
You cut me off, you guy, box sucker.
This guy was up at dawn on Monday.
That's amazing.
He's here on a Thursday morning.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was amazing. Coast. But Sandberg, the medley was amazing. And then his video about anxiety, he's Lonely Island, as beloved as they are, in my opinion, still don't get quite enough credit for restructuring the show. Like, yes. No one has had a structural impact on that show since its inception. I really do believe that. And his anxiety video is just like a chef's kiss of kind of like acknowledging an elephant in the room, but doing it with love. And he did the same thing 10 years ago with the breaking video, like yes. Did a video on, you know, a short about people who laugh on camera. And I just think the world of that guy. He's so smart and that was one of my faves of the evening.
Anybody you met for the first time from SNL history?
Gosh,
anybody?
Who was my first? There were lots. God, and of course I'm blanking.
It's all right. Anybody that you met for the first time? Period. That night that you're
Vetter was the first meet.
That's a great one.
It was a fever dream. I'm actually thinking SNL-wise, I think I'd met almost
That's
everybody.
Cool. That's
that
cool.
was cool. Yeah. Well, it was new cast members that I hadn't gotten to share. Like Sarah Sherman, I absolutely love. And she brings me joy whenever she's on camera. So getting to spend some good time with her was incredible. And as I said earlier, James Austin Johnson, we really got to kind of...
He's so talented.
S the S.
Yep. Shoot the
yes.
Well done.
And he's just good like work, I mean, what a Swiss Army knife of talent that guy is. So those were really cool for me. But I was going like, well, Paul McCartney. No, I'd already met Paul McCartney. And he did say, hello, Taryn. How are you? Good to see you. We've been doing some gigs around town. We were down at the Bowery 2 nights ago, and all the young kids are motioning around, and they're just blown out of their skulls, and they know every word. It was really a fantastic thing. Yeah, I know, Paul. That sounds cool. I'm going to now watch you play this song 2 times in a row and weep in front of you. Is that okay? And he was okay with it.
Oh, my gosh. You know, obviously, God rest his soul, and Chris Farley, the Chris Farley with McCartney.
Yes.
Just when his,
you remember? And he sang in the end, the love you make is equal to loving you. Is that true? Remember when you said the love you make is equal to is that true? Awesome.
He's like, oh, well, awesome. Chris, I often find that the love you make, and he explains the song to him. So, and yeah,
that's one of the, I mean, one
that's
of the greatest.
Awesome. So good.
One of the greatest.
Norm was at the 40th. Norm was a big one for me at the 40th, because I worship that guy. I just worship his confidence, his joke structure. He just was always a favorite of mine. And so there was the loss of that. And I was grateful to Sandler for kind of taking the time to call that out too.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50 years, man.
50 years. And it's just such an iconic touchstone of pop culture,
you know,
and for you to be a part of it. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, buddy.
That's why, you know, to use the phrase an athlete would say, no one can take that away from you.
Even though,
I don't know, whenever a player says, no one can take this away from me, like, who's legitimately trying to remove the trophy?
Well, that's one of my favorite Norm jokes and from the ESPYs.
Yeah, of course.
Reggie Bush, that's a Heisman Trophy winner. That's something nobody can take away from you unless you murder your wife and the waiter. It wasn't Reggie. Who was it?
It's Charles Woodson.
That's right.
Heisman Trophy winner Charles Woodson. No one can ever take that away from you. No, unless you kill your wife and a waiter. And then they showed everybody there. I was in the
Ken Griffey
audience.
Jr. did not. Oh, yeah.
I was in the audience for that ESPYs.
Yes.
And I met Norm the day before.
Wow.
And I will never forget it. I'd never met him before. And I was, you know, awestruck and starstruck by him. Because he was the host of the ESPYs that year.
Yes, yes.
And I just remember Stuart Scott and I were done with a rehearsal, and we were leaving part of Radio City Music Hall, and out he popped out of nowhere just to say hi to us.
Yeah.
And then ask us for gambling advice. He was like, hey, I forget which board it was or which game it was, but I'm thinking of doing this tonight. Should I do it? and we were both looked at each other like, is this really happening?
Amazing.
And Norm liked action.
Yeah, he liked action.
He asked us for gambling advice.
That's so funny.
And then when he made that joke, and it was absolutely a showstopper in many different ways.
Yes.
You're right. Like, Griffey wasn't happy.
No.
And the thing, though, that really made ESPN management livid that night was when Will Ferrell came out as Harry Caray and said things that they thought they had removed from the prompter in the script.
Oh, wow.
When he made fun of Elway's teeth.
Wow.
And Ken Griffey Jr. and that. I remember seeing an executive of ESPN that night swear we will never have Will Ferrell back. Two years later, guess who was back?
Same executive. You know, my kids actually kind of love Elf. It was a pretty good movie, actually. Pretty good.
Yeah. Will's welcome here still.
Well, and how about Will? Like, still as good as ever. He and Anna Gasteyer did the Bobby and Marty culp at the concert. It destroyed.
Destroyed. And then him as Robert Goulet.
Oh, so exciting. Actual show. That's huge for me. Yeah. And then him jumping into Kenan's sketch into Scared Straight.
Good. Again, I had to explain to my kids who Robert Goulet was and who Lawrence Welk was. You know what I mean? But yeah.
They were
still locked in, and it was as relevant to somebody their age as ever. They got the sense of the bigness and the awesomeness and the importance and the significance and the excitement at ages 16, 14, and 11 as I did.
So cool.
You know, at a very young 55.
They gotta love Marcello. They gotta love the Domingo sketch and love Marcello.
They love all of it.
Yeah. It's awesome. How about Miley and Brittany Howard doing Sinead O'Connor? That's kind of cool.
I had to explain that to them too.
Yeah.
But hey, listen, it brought the family together in a way. And I can't thank you enough for coming in here, brother.
It's always a joy. Thank you for having me.
That was a great 3 hours of television.
Go Rams.
Man.
It was
amazing.
It truly was. Like, I came in here Monday and said that I could not believe the amount of, like, I could sit there and tell you who wasn't there.
Right.
And I can tell you who was, you know.
It was
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, like, you know, of those who would have been able to come, they couldn't make it. There were some heavy hitters missed with Dan and Bill and Dana for sure. And you felt it and you wish that for them. But it was also better than the 40th, I would say, in terms of recognizing the alumni, you know, the depth of the bench, so to speak.
Well, it was great. Thanks for coming in, Taryn.
Thank you, my friend.
Let's do this again anytime.
Yes, please.
You're one of my favorites, brother.
Likewise.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
No one knows music like Rolling Stone. Senior writer Brian Hyatt talks the biggest music news from the biggest stars.
Almost everyone is teaming up on Drake. It's like Drake versus the world.
Yeah.
You first met Prince, you were driving for him before you were drumming for him.
That's correct.
Stevie Wonder!
You kind of have to understand how Stevie began.
White Radio. That's where the money was. That's where it still is. You know what I'm saying?
Rolling Stone Music Now. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Bill Hader here on The Rich Eisen Show. Your favorite character you did on SNL would be what? If you could just like wave a wand and say, I'll go back. Obviously, they're having you back all the time now, but if you could just do it again.
I had a lot of favorite ones. I love doing the Vincent Price specials. I was Vincent Price. I love doing Keith Morrison, the Dateline guy.
You could just read anything from him and it would just sound creepy, right? I mean.
Yeah, he also said, he said something, it's not this, but it was something like a guy. He says, like, so your dad got shot in the face. He goes, wow, that must have been a while. Like, it's so,
It's not right to laugh at it, but
he's like, oh, that must have been a while, right in front of you. Wow.
Where did Vincent Price come from?
Like, I'm just a big Vincent Price fan, and then
you pitched it around a table. You're like,
no,
Vincent
this guy
Price
Matt or... Murray and I talked about it,
right?
And we decided to do it, and for Thanksgiving. It was like this weird Thanksgiving special. And I remember right before I came out to do it, Lauren Michaels goes, it was my third or fourth show. I was terrified. And he went, I like this, but why now? Why now do we do Vincent Price? But people seem to like it, and that one was fun. Keith Morrison was fun. Vinny Vedecci, the Italian talk show host, was fun.
What was that born out of? Just
I was in line to see AI, the movie AI,
okay.
At the Man's Chinese, mm-hmm. and there was a guy in front of us talking like that, and he was kind of lecherous, Italian guy, and he was hitting on these two, like, you know, 18-year-old girls, and he was like, I buy you gelato, you want gelato? And he's like, I want to buy you gelato. No, we watch gelato, and then we see Robot Boy, eh? And so the whole movie, I was making my friends laugh, going like, oh, the little Robot Boy hates peanuts, he breaks, oh, he's a teddy bear, he don't like him no more. And I was just like, and I was just doing it the whole movie to make my two friends laugh. And then I was like, oh, I should probably, and then when I met manager, and she goes, well, can you do impressions? And I was like, no, I'd never really thought about doing impressions of famous people. And she goes, well, do you do a voice, anything? And I went, what is this guy, this Italian guy? And she goes, okay, you can work with that. And that became my audition. My audition was that guy
for
doing
SNL.
Impressions. Yeah, so it was like Vinny Vedecci, the Italian guy, was auditioning for SNL. Like,
right.
Thank you, Lauren. Oh, this is so amazing. You know, and he would do a bunch of impressions.
Bill Hader's multiple appearances. Check it out here on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over the 10 years plus of this program, we've been fortunate to have a whole bunch of folks on talking about SNL. That was great, right?
Yeah,
that was great.
From someone who was there in the mix.
Yeah, he said he was going to, let's see if he's texted me the photograph. He said he was going to do that.
Oh, I mean, he just left 3 seconds.
Yeah, here it is.
Oh, he did it.
Yeah, I'll send it. Wow, what a photograph at 5:03 in the morning. Jeez. All right, coming your way, Hoskins. We'll pop this on the air.
Oh, man. We got bad news about Wemby.
Okay, that's not great. We'll get to that in a second.
Why?
Hold on.
Yeah, I'll wait.
Just hang on.
I'm waiting.
And I understand those who are watching on the Roku channel, like, well, know, why can't we get to it now?
I think they can wait. Yeah. I mean, it's breaking news. It just happened.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, here on the Roku channel feed, I was going to use these 2 minutes to just revel about what we just heard from
Sorry,
Taron Killam.
Sorry, yeah, no, I didn't mean to bring the vibe down.
You got a buzzkill. What's happening?
Yeah,
what's
buzzkill. Yeah, breaking news from Choms. Victor Wembanyama. Gonna miss the rest of the season.
No.
With I don't even ever heard of this before. Deep vein thrombosis in his right shoulder.
What?
What? I have to.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Imagine it's some type of shoulder injury, obviously. But yeah, he's gonna be out the rest of the year. Major bummer.
Oh, okay. It's a condition where a blood clot forms in a deep vein, usually in the legs.
Yeah, that does sound like a leg thing.
Yeah, but. So I guess in the shoulders, close to the heart.
What 20-year-old has a deep vein thrombosis? What
I don't
the
know.
Hell? Just when we're going to see, you know, the Aaron Fox and Wemby and Chris Paul and Castle and...
Yeah, so the Spurs just posted, the condition was discovered when Wemby returned following the All-Star game, expected to miss the remainder of the season. The team will provide updates as appropriate.
Oh, my God.
Obviously not a doctor, but I'm just reading the causes of this.
And yes. It,
none of this seems to fit him. Prolonged inactivity,
right.
Obviously no. Surgery or hospitalization, no. Injury to the legs, obesity, smoking, none of these.
What the hell? Yeah, because usually, again, you need to be careful when you're flying on a plane.
Yeah.
That's when these things happen. I'm trying to remember. You remember... Is this something similar to what Bruschi had? Remember that? When he had something on a plane?
Well, he had a mini stroke.
Right. Something.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you want to avoid.
Right.
Oh, my God. Wemby done for the season. That is significant. The Spurs are just talking the basketball aspect of it. Spurs are what? They're 12th right now?
Yeah, they're on the outside looking into the play-in right now, but you hope you make a big deal. You trade for De'Aaron Fox like this. You pair him with one of the best young players in the league. You're hoping you can make a run and sneak in and maybe get an upset or two in the playoffs, but you know, that's all pretty much over right now. They were 3.5 back of the play-in.
Mm.
As the NBA picks back up tonight in full.
Oh my God! What a awful season! And God, you know, sucks. they lose Pop.
Yeah, Pop
for the season
still hasn't been back. Yeah.
Right, and then now Wembanyama has deep vein thrombosis. He's 20, right? I'm not wrong in pegging that age.
Well, he's very young.
What the hell?
Man. I mean, he's 21.
It's saying here 21. It can be, you know, dangerous,
of course,
but it's treatable if caught early, which hopefully they have done. So,
man, that is just an absolute stunner to find that one out. Can't catch a break, man.
You know, I'm not, of course, not making light of this. I'm just pointing something out. The fact that Spurs have Wembanyama. He's going to miss the rest of the year. This obviously derails their playoff hopes.
Yes, sir.
Possibly could put them in the lottery. What if you have another situation like what, 97, 98, when David Robinson goes out for a year
flag?
And they get Tim Duncan, and now the Spurs, Wemby's out for a year, they could end up in the lottery and get Cooper Flag? Could you imagine this happening again?
Yeah. They're going to have a minuscule chance at that, but I mean, obviously, a possibility.
Chance. Yeah.
Well, I mean, their odds will improve if they lose more games. But that's not why De'Aaron Fox went to San Antonio.
Definitely not.
That's not why they got him.
Definitely not.
They got him to make a run now and, you know, get up to speed together as a unit now so they hit the ground running next year. And, well, we wound up getting only a literal handful of games in which Fox played with Wembanyama. So, but you're not wrong that if they do wind up in that lottery.
Like, could you imagine
and
it
they,
happening
And they
again?
Get that 2% milk chance of getting the number one overall pick, and they wind up pairing Cooper Flagg with
Fox
Wembanyama and Fox.
Yeah, I'm definitely making
and Castle. You know, and Sochan and... They got some really good young players.
Yeah, they're a really young.
But for the moment,
team.
Sending our best to
no doubt.
Big
Crown Vic.
Crown Vic, right? My gosh.
YouTube personality Betty Johnson has cracked the code on a new era of newsmaking.
It's got to be music to your ears. It's like the angels singing.
Listen, learn, and laugh.
I had a feeling you'd be in a very good mood. Oh, this is going to be a glorious day on Capitol Hill for you, sir.
It's a new cultural landscape.
So it's an important moment right now. Does this deserve another look?
The Benny Show.
Seize it in all of its glory.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.